the
black
status quo.
Man, that's what I'm talking about. Weekly chit chat. I was asking y'all, are y'all ready? And I was like, well, you know what? I think I'm not ready because I don't know what button I need to mash first because the person that normally does this is not on. Hey, everyone. This is Tawanda with the Black Status Quo. And I'm super excited to be here with a chit chat session tonight with two lovely ladies who I'm not going to introduce them. I think they can introduce themselves because they are awesome, awesome, awesome. We're going to go out to the G state first just because it's G and G comes before T. And talk to us, young ladies. Tell us who you are, how you're feeling, what you're doing, what you're cooking, anything you want to share in that intro.
So my name is Ashauna Lane. I am in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm looking forward to being on tonight's show and going over these topics. Got some juicy stuff to talk about, and I'm all for it.
Now, when do you not have some juicy stuff to talk about?
Never. I mean, I always have juicy stuff to talk about. Life is juicy, right? We got to keep
life is definitely. And you know what? When I wake up in the morning, like I have one eye open, one eye closed, I'm like, before I get out of bed, let me see what Shauna's talking about on her Facebook. And then I'll rise out the bed. All right. We're going to go out to the great big state of Texas. Talk to us, young lady. Welcome to the show.
Hey, everybody. This is Miyoshi. I am calling in from Dallas, Texas. Today, I feel very inspirational. I'm surrounded with plant babies, and I am excited for tonight.
All right. And, you know, let me do a sidebar before we get started because Miyoshi said something about plant babies. And she had left me a message the other night. She was talking about her plants. She was so happy. She was like, oh, I'm a plant mom, and too bad you're not a plant mom, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, plant mom? I never heard of plant mom before. And I'm like, okay, so she has a hobby, and she loves plants, so she's a plant mom. So people that have a dog, are they a dog mom?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
is it called dog mom or pet mom?
It's called a dog mom. You can be a cat mom. You can be a dog mom. They're your fur babies. That's what they call
mm-hmm.
it. I love it. I love it. I love it. No, I think that's amazing because, like, when you take care of something and you love it, and when she said it, Mimi was so passionate about being a plant mom, and even today she was leaving me a message talking about how great her day has been, and she's talking about potting and repotting and this and that, and I was listening to the message like, what? But no, I think that's amazing, especially when you have something that soothes you, something that you really like and that you really, really enjoy. So I want to say big ups to all the plant moms, all the fur moms, all the pot moms. Now, when you say fur, do you mean like fur coat or you said fur as an animal?
Fur is an animal. I mean, the animals have fur anyway. Just hope you don't make a fur coat out of your dog. But it's still your fur baby.
Oh.
Yeah, if you make your dog into a coat, that's gonna be a fur coat.
She went there. Okay. All right. So, listen, I want to say thank you, ladies, for really hopping on the show tonight. I was talking to Mimi and Ashauna a couple of days ago, and I'm like, hey, let's chat weekly because we have so many topics and et cetera, et cetera. And I'm looking forward to getting more topics added to our list. And this is going to be Black Girls Chat Weekly when we feel like it. So tonight we're talking about everybody's favorite topic, that four-letter word, L-O-V-E. However, this is about love without limits. Ladies, are you ready?
I am ready.
Oh, wait a minute. Somebody kind of hesitated, like you had to take a deep breath or something. Okay. So listen, and we're talking about love with I can't remember who suggested this topic, but I got a couple of questions. But of course, as always, we're women and we're just going to talk and run our mouth. So when you think about love without limits, what comes to mind? Like, what do you think about when you hear that? Whoever wants to start us off.
I guess I can start off. Love without limits to me is, I don't want to call it foolish, but it's kind of unsafe, because if you don't have a limit on it, you know, then you can be just giving it out to somebody that's not giving it back. You can be wasting it. You know, everything has a limit. You have a spending limit when you go out shopping. You have an eating limit so you don't gain too much weight. You know, you have a limit on your exercise so you don't wear your body out. So love, I think, needs to be reeled in the same way. You know, it has to have some kind of limits. Otherwise, you loving people that don't love you back, and now you scorn and you bitter and you mad at the world because you wasted a lot of love on somebody that didn't love you back because you didn't have any limits to it. So that's what I think about it. I think it kind of should have limits to an extent, but it all depends on, you know, if it's being reciprocated and y'all both loving each other without limits and it's healthy, then, you know, go for it. But, you know, if one person is loving without limits and the other person has limits, somebody's going to be hurt. Somebody's going to be in their feelings behind it.
That's really interesting to think about. Miyoshi, when you hear that term, what comes to mind?
To use that term in a sentence, it would have to be on the other side of the relationship, as far as we are exclusive, this is what we're going to do. It's just me and you, we're building towards a ring, getting married. So that's the only way that I could think of love without limits, as far as a man and woman or whoever, a relationship.
Okay. Well, yeah, that definitely makes sense. I can definitely agree with what both you guys have said. You know, when I hear love without limits, the first thing I think about is Roblox, right? And I can think about, like, personal relationships that I've been in where I'm like, I don't know, let me think about it, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, people talk about trust. Like, hey, do you trust me? You know, sometimes people even want you to have blind trust, and they just want you to do. And that's just never been something that went over well with me. And honestly speaking, like, I work with prisoners and families, and I can't even count the women, and I'm not discriminating against men, but I can't even count the women that I've met over the last 10 years that are in prison today, and they were in a situation that was a love without limit type situation. And they end up doing something that they really didn't want to do, but in the name of love, they did it. And, you know, and today they have 20 years, 25 years, life sentences. And almost everyone I've talked to is a similar type story and situation. So when I hear love without limits, I get real, what's the word, like edgy, you see, a little nervous, a little cautious, warning signs, throwing up blocks, like, nah, I don't know about that. I'm going to need all the information first. So, and again, that's just me. But we're going to get into, like, why that is something really, really significant. And the other thing is, when I think about love without limits, I even had a friend of mine ask me about 2 or 3 months ago. She said, my gosh, and Miyoshi, I know you're going to remember this because I was talking to you about it, right? And she said, my guy said that I'm not a ride or die chick and that I should be like other, his friends, women, a ride or die. So, ladies, I know you have heard the term ride or die chick. So what is your definition and understanding of ride or die chick?
Miyoshi, you want to go first?
Sure. I was considered a ride or die chick, but I wasn't boo-boo the fool. Like, I'm there to support you in your dreams. I'm there to encourage you. I'm there to whatever it is that you need me to do, but not if it's going to cause me hurt and pain and possibility of jail time. So I'm a ride, and we might die together, but I'm not gonna do anything that's going to cause me hurt or pain. If you love me, you wouldn't ask me to.
And emphasis on the last thing you said, if you love me, you wouldn't ask me to it. Before Shauna goes, I want to just say, You know, we love to go to Wikipedia. Like, what does Wikipedia say a ride or die chick is? And what it says is, and this is something that's coming from a hip-hop origin, referring to a woman who's willing to support her partner and their risky lifestyle despite how this might endanger or harm her. Now, so Miyoshi, based on what you said, that doesn't kind of sound like what you took ride or die to mean.
Mm-mm.
Not
nope.
when it's going to endanger or harm you.
Nope. Not gonna
and
it
also it. Says the woman may even take an active role as an accomplice and manifest a willingness to help men in dangerous situations. And I think that's kind of like the worldly thought when people think about a ride or die. What's your thoughts on that, Shauna?
So, my thoughts on it kind of align with Miyoshi's. I don't consider myself to be a ride or die chick because I have, you know, my own stuff that I got to ride or die for. If I'm a ride or die, it's going to be for my kids. It's going to be for something that, you know, is an extension of me. A man is come and go, you know. If I go to jail, you know, is he coming to visit me in jail? Is he putting money on my books? Is he taking care of me? You know, it's always the reverse in that situation. Because when a man go to jail, he still expects to have his ride or die chick there. She's bringing him drugs. She's making the phone calls. She's
Ooh.
Putting money on his books. But how many times does a man do that for a woman when she goes to prison? You know, so I know it's frowned upon, especially in the black community, when a woman says, I'm not a ride or die chick. Because what men hear is, I'm not going to stand by your side. But that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stand by your side, but wrong is wrong and right is right. And if you out robbing banks or you knocking people over or you doing something that's going to jeopardize you coming home to me at night, that's going to jeopardize you being my ride or die, then I can't associate with you because you don't care enough about you to care about me in a situation that you got us in.
Mm.
That's what I think about it.
That definitely makes a lot of sense. And that's, I guess, one of the things that seems so – you know, when someone is looking for a relationship, like ladies, for example, regardless of who you're in a relationship with, what are some of the qualities are you looking for? Are you looking for a ride or die man? Is there even a such thing as a ride or die man?
Most of the time, exclusively for women, you know, because, and I don't want to turn this into, you know, because men cheat or all men do this or all men do that, because I know that that's not true, but. A man is supposed to be the rock, you know, the foundation in the relationship. A woman is supposed to be too, but when it comes down to being a ride or die, it's usually related to women and not to men because, see, a man, he can have multiple ride or die. You know, he all around town, and he got a ride or die in every city that he go to. Women who are trying to prove that they are there for that man, you know, to her own detriment. So I don't think that it really relates to men, the term ride or die, because I've never heard a ride or die man. You know, that's not what you hear in the music. That's not what you see on TV. So I think it more so relates to women. As far as qualities in a man, I'm just looking for, you know, and I'm not saying me personally, but I would think that the qualities that a man you know, will possess, will be somebody concrete, somebody solid, somebody that does what he says what he does, means what he says, and, you know, he can show me that without his actions kind of flaking, you know. So that's what I think about as far as, you know, the qualities in a man.
Okay. That definitely makes sense. And, you know, I've never heard of ride or die man either, but I got my own opinion about that, which I'm going to get into a little later into the show. But, let me see. I want to be nice. All right, let me just go on to the next question because I really, really want to be nice. All right, so, all right, ladies, have you ever experienced love without limits? If so, tell us a little about it. And if not, would you like to? Now we're going to get up close and personal, all up in your Kool-Aid.
Miyoshi,
hello.
Yeah. So I have, and I didn't like it. I didn't like it, and the reason why. So kind of going back to what you were saying, the term ride or die is not used for men. No, they use things like handpicked and whipped. is what they use towards those type of men. Well, in my case, I happened to be engaged to the person, and the person was so afraid to lose me that he would go against what he wanted to do just so I wouldn't get mad, which would make me mad because I would be like, it's okay for you to say no, even though I don't like the word no, but I understand. Don't be afraid if I get mad type of thing. I'm like encouraging him to be upset with me. So that was a turnoff for me. So I had to break the engagement for that. So I don't like it. I like a man's man. That's what I like.
Okay. That makes sense. I guess for me, what I'll go ahead and say, because I'm not going to ask anything that I can't answer myself. Like, honestly speaking, when I think about different relationships that I've had, I've just kind of always been, I was telling someone this today, I've always been that person kind of on the fence. Like, I'm not sure. I need to think about it. And one thing some people don't want to hear is that you got to think about it. And in reference to, like, love without limits, I'm cautious. I'm that person that's thinking. Like, I used to date someone, and one thing he would always say is, you think too much. And I said, you know what? If you got a problem with me thinking, you definitely have a problem with me because I am a thinker, and I'm going to think about it. I'm not just going to go do. And I remember also one night we were getting ready to go somewhere, and he was like, you know, you need to loosen up, and you're all stuffy. And he said, here. And he had this pill that he was attempting to give me. And I said, what is that? And I kind of, like, freaked out. He's like, something to loosen your ass up. and I just looked at him like he was crazy. Like, I don't do drugs. I don't even know what the hell this is. And he was like, look, just trust me. This is going to relax you and blah, blah, blah. And that little thing that he, that little gesture turned into a whole big argument because his thing was, ah, just trust me. And I'm saying to myself, are you crazy? I trust my mama. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So when it comes to love without limits, I would say that I've partially experienced it. However, when I got to a situation to where I wasn't comfortable, the limit kicked in.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not a fan of without limits until the limit came. Okay, what's your thoughts about that, Shauna?
So I may have been in a situation or two where I love without limits. But I think for women, as we get older, we got to start limiting stuff because, see, we go through things that as we get older, we realize, I didn't even have to go through that. That was stupid. That was me being young and not doing any better. So when we get older, we start to learn better, start to learn ourselves and what we're willing to risk and what we aren't. And so that whole love without limits, after a certain age, like you said, baby, we got limits. You know, because I can't be out here doing stuff, and you can't be out here offering me pills. You know what I mean? Like what you just said, you can't be offering me pills. Like, how is that love? Like, unless I tell you, hey, I got a migraine, you got some aspirin, then you offer me a pill. But you offer me a chill pill, like a literal chill pill, like chill out, take this pill. Like we got some limits. So I think early on for women, because we don't know any better and, you know, we our first little boyfriends, our first little love and stuff like that, we love without limits. And then we get burned or we get scorned or we get hurt or we get broken. And then from there, we kind of learn that, okay, we need limits. Because for as long as I don't have limits, he's going to take me for everything that I have. And that a lot of times, like I said, all men are not bad men, and they probably don't mean it. They probably don't know any better. They are young too. You know, this goes back to our first love. You know, when you first meet your first boyfriend and y'all in love, y'all both don't have no limits. Y'all both young and dumb and don't know anything about love, you know. And so you do stuff that when you get older, you just think back and you're like, I would never do that to myself again. Because when you're young, you don't have limits. You know, you're homeless together and you're sleeping in parks and you're doing stuff. And he didn't have limits and you didn't have limits. And then y'all found yourself in some stupid stuff. Stuff that when you get older, you're like, I got stuff to lose. I got a job to go to in the morning. I can't be hanging out all night. Or I got kids to go home to. I can't be out here committing crimes and doing stuff like this. So you got to put limits on it. You have to put limits on it because if you don't, it's just like with anything else. Everything is in moderation. Like, I love you, but I don't love you enough to commit a crime or to sleep out on the community.
I love you, but I love me too.
Exactly. Exactly. And I love me more. Not just I love
Thank
me
you.
Too, but I love me more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And if you don't love me enough to put limits on it, you know, because I'm going to need you as a man. If I say, go jump off this roof right now for me to show me how much you love me, I'm going to need you as a man to say, you know, hold on, you crazy. I'm not doing that. Like, you need limits too. We both need limits. Otherwise, I can just ask you to go do anything, and you're going to go do it because you don't have no limits. So limits are definitely needed. Limits are personal. I've loved without limits before, but as we grow older, you know, when you know better, you do better. I wouldn't do it again. Mm. I have limits, and I make them known up front.
Oh, my God. Listen, that is real. That is real. But you know what? I want to say this in reference to, like, you said this a couple of times. You mentioned about getting older. You know, and sometimes it's seeming like, you know, what you're saying is sometimes as we grow to and through situations, we're learning and we're doing better with our decision-making. Yeah. Is that kind of where you're going with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But in all facets of our life, not just in relationships. Because, see, when you get older, you know, we as kids, we ate hot Cheetos and cup of noodles all day. You try to eat that stuff now, your stomach going to hurt, you're going to have heartburn, you know, you ain't going to feel right. So when you grow older, you learn stuff about yourself and you learn who you are and what you can and cannot do. You know, your body is going to tell you that you shouldn't have ate that, you know. So if you're not listening to yourself, if you are not better at 30 than you were at 20, you've wasted 10 years of your life. Because this
repeat.
Is what life is
repeat.
About.
No, repeat,
if,
baby.
If
please
you
repeat
are not,
that.
If you are not better at 30 than you were at 20, you've wasted 10 years of your life.
Yo.
And that's in all facets. That's in everything. That's in your health care, your skincare regimen, that's in the men you date, the food you eat, the places you go, the friends you have. That's everything. That's everything.
Man, I got to say this. And one of the things, when you talk about associations, and I learned a long time ago, you know, as far as the people that you hang around, the things people talk about, you guys know the story. It says when you're in a circle and you're the smartest person in your circle, you need a new circle. We need to hang around and be around people that can help us learn, that can help us grow. Like, that's priceless. And you guys know even better. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was agreeing. I said absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, if it's four of us, right, and there's one person in this circle that's not growing, that's not moving, it's not progressing, then they're no longer going to be comfortable. So now that I said that, I got to ask you guys this. This is not on my list, but we're talking about love without limits. And you said, hey, if you're not better at 30 than you was at 20, like, you're wasted. And some of us are wasting our life because people want love. You know, so, like, what is the mindset of a person? And I'm not going to down anyone that says, oh, I'm loving without limits, I'm 35. But what is the mindset? Like, I know you guys heard, like, it seems like some men, especially maybe black men, have an issue with an independent woman. And I've even heard men say, oh, she need to do this, she need to do that, she need to be more like this or that. Do you think there's something when a woman blindly just goes and does anything for a man in the name of love, is there something wrong with that? I mean, what is the mindset of this person? Like, what's going on?
I can't speak to that because I've never been that woman. You know, if I'm with a man, then yeah, I'm going to do stuff for him. You know, but again, it's all reciprocal. Is he doing those same things for me? If so, then yeah, I'm 100% comfortable doing them for him. But I'm not just the woman, you know, I'm not a sugar mama. I'm not the woman that's just going to be buying you stuff and taking you places and flying you around the country because I like you. No, I have limits. Again, that goes back to the limits. So I've never been that woman. I can't speak to the mindset. I have no idea.
Mm.
I've never been that woman either, but I could imagine that a person who thinks that way is someone that's broken, someone who doesn't see the value in themselves, and they feel that they can buy someone's love, and not understanding that they're buying them for the moment. Long as you're giving, I'm there. The moment you run out or the moment I find someone that's giving more, I'm out.
That makes sense. So, ladies, one thing, when you think about relationships, so when it comes to relationships, do you think that black women, like, do too much? Do you think that you – because, Shauna, you keep talking about being reciprocated, like, hey, I'm going hard for you, but you go hard for me. Do you really see that? Do you think it measures up? And I'm not saying measure up as in 50-50, just what black women are putting into relationships, do you see that being reciprocated more times than not?
Actually, I do. I do. I have friends whose husbands and boyfriends go hard for them. I've been with men who have gone hard for me. And, I mean, it's gotten to the point where I've been with men that have treated me so good that I'm letting them know, like, yo, like, I don't feel like I can give this back to you. Like, you've done so much for me. You've given me so much. Like, I don't possess what you possess in order to give this back to you. So I don't even know how to reciprocate this. But I know for a lot of men, and what they tell me when I tell them that, because I tell them that exact thing, like, yo, you've done so much for me, there's no way I can repay you, or there's no way I can give you what you've given me. They tell me that, you know what, just the fact that you think like that, that you want to do that, that's more than enough for me. Just to know that you think like that, to know that you're not just out here taking, and you actually appreciate it and you want to reciprocate it, that makes me want to give you even more. And so, again, it goes back to the thought that it's the thought that counts. I've gotten so much great stuff, you know, that from men that I know, you know, I can never repay you because I don't have the kind of money that you have. I don't have the, you know, career that you have, or, you know, the resources that you have to be able to give you this same stuff. But, you know, I'm your woman and I'm loving you. I'll give you what I can give you, you know, and just off of that alone, they're like, no, we love you just because of that, just because you said that. Most women don't even say that. So we want to give to you just because you think like that. That's what my experience. And I also see, you know, my friends' husbands and their boyfriends, and it's the same. So, you know, you have some people that mesh up really well, and they do the reciprocation thing very well, and it works for them. And then you have takers and you have givers, and those people will never mesh well.
That's true.
And it don't matter who they get with. You get with a Chinese man, a white man, a whoever. You're never going to mesh well if you are a giver and they are a taker. It's never going to work. You have to find somebody that is, you're both givers. Because if you're both takers, you're not going to have nothing. But if you get
you ain't
going to
have nothing.
Yeah, but if you get with somebody and they're a giver and you're a giver, I think those are the relationships that work the best.
What about when you have someone who, when you have a guy, he has I got to save you complex, and he needs a needy woman. How does it work then?
Well, then you know, I'm not the woman for you. No offense. Like, yeah, I need a man. Don't get me wrong. I need a man. I want a man. But I let men know all the time, I need you, but I'm not going to be hungry, homeless, or helpless without you. Still going to have
That's
a roof over my head. I'm still going to eat every night, and my bank account is still going to be nice, whether you're here with me or whether you are not here with me. Don't expect me, you know, to be helpless if you leave or if you're not around. Like, I, you know, I'm not helpless. If you want a needy woman like that, then you probably need to go to a homeless shelter and rescue one.
No, you didn't.
Nowadays,
no, you didn't.
Yeah, because nowadays most women, we have our own, but men have gotten it in their head that if a woman has her own, she don't need me. Men made that up. Women didn't make that up. Yeah, they made songs, Independent Woman and this, that, but in no time in the Independent Woman song did I ever hear, I don't need a man. All she said was, I have my own, And so I don't necessarily need yours. Like, yours is extra. But what person don't want somebody that, you know, what you have is yours, what I have is mine, and what we put together, we're going to build this mountain together. You can't build
that's
with somebody
right.
that ain't got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to take that. Again, that's a taker. They taking from you because they ain't got nothing. So if you need a needy woman, go to a homeless shelter. She's there. She's waiting for you. She needs you right now. She needs you.
I know. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. Now that's definitely true. One thing, as you were saying that, we're talking about the mindset. Let me ask you, ladies, have you ever seen the TV series by Tyler Perry called Sisters?
I have not.
Me neither.
Okay, how about you, me? Okay.
Mm-mm.
All right, well, let me say this for you said what?
I said it's on my list saved, but I still have not watched it.
All right, well, I want to ask you guys a question, but first I want to say this. As I'm thinking about Love Without Limits, I was looking at, like, women that suffer from domestic abuse, and I want to explain to you what I mean by that. All right, so statistics say that 1 in 4 women and 1 in 7 men experience physical violence by their intimate partner at some point, and about 1 in 3 women and nearly 1 in 6 men experience some form of sexual violence during lifetime. I have met one thing, Shawna, you said, hey, I have a lot of friends that are in healthy relationships, and I'm like, you know what, that's good, and I need more of that. Unfortunately, I know several women in relationships, and over half of them are not good. And over half of them are in situations to where it's that Betty Wright thing, I'd rather have a piece of a man than no man at all. And I think a lot of times in situations, and this is my personal opinion because I'm not a therapist, I think a lot of times people settle because of low self-esteem, fear of being lonely, and so many other reasons. And a lot of those situations, when you're with someone you know that you're not supposed to be with or it's not good for you, it sometimes can lead to a domestic situation, or maybe that's the reason you haven't left. Have you ladies ever experienced that, like settling, being in a domestic abusive type situation, or having someone that you love that's in a situation like that, all in the name of love?
Me personally, I have not. I never will. The minute I feel something is not right, or he raises his voice, or he makes me feel like I'm threatened, I'm out. So I've never had that, but I do know women who have. And it's unfortunate because women like that, they put themselves, and I'm not blaming them. Please don't misunderstand me when I say this, but this goes back to the whole needy woman and independent woman. So a needy woman, I was watching a show, and the woman was getting beat up, her kids was getting beat up, and when the police asked her, why haven't you left, she said, we don't have nowhere to go. He's the breadwinner. He makes all the money. He pays the rent, the bills, buys the clothes, buys the food. We don't have anywhere to go. And so that's what happens. When you're too needy, they're going to take advantage. Not all, but some. So I've not been in that situation, but I know someone who has, and it was the same thing. She depended on him for everything, and so when it got time, you know, for him to start doing him, and he was cheating and lying and beating on her, you know, by that time she didn't have anything. She didn't have a savings account. She didn't have clothes except for what he bought. The car was in his name. You know, she would have been painted out to be the horrible mother had she left with the kids, and so she had just kind of backed herself into a corner where you now have no way out. You don't have a way out. So any person, you know, man or woman, whatever kind of relationship you're in, if they're encouraging you, you know, oh, you don't have to work, or you don't have to do this, or you don't have to do that. Yeah, a lot of people want to be a stay-at-home mom and a stay-at-home wife, and that's fine if that's what you want. But if somebody is trying to cut off your resources, cut off your money, cut off your friends, cut off your family, that should be a sign. Most men, they want you out of the house sometime. Go out with your friends. Go have a good time. You know, you in my hair all day long. Go out and do you. Here's some money. Go. Bye. I'll see you when you come back. But when they're like, no, you can't go nowhere. No, you can't wear that. No, don't. I don't like your hair like that. That's a sign. That's controlling. That's manipulation. That's a sign. We all see those signs. God gave us intuition for a reason. We all see those signs. We feel them, you know. But a lot of people ignore them until it's too late. you know, until it's too late. I liken it to going to the beach. You go to the beach and there's signs and it says don't go out more than 3 feet because the waters are choppy. But you have some people that feel like, oh, I know how to swim. I'm not worried about it. I know how to swim. They go out past 3 feet and they get sucked into a riptide, a roll tide, or whatever it's called. And, you know, just because you know how to swim and you know how to fend for yourself, this current is much stronger than you are. And so now you're trapped and you don't have the help that you need because you saw the signs just like everybody else saw the signs and you ignored them. And I'm not victim shaming. I'm not victim blaming. So I hope nobody that's listening misunderstands what I'm saying, but we see the signs. You know, people start off nice and they know how to hide it and they know how to lie and, you know, all that other stuff. But there comes a time where something in your mind goes, that's not right. Whatever he just said or whatever he just did or whatever feeling he just made me feel, that wasn't right. That's your sign. That's your sign.
That's real. And you just, honestly speaking, like, you hit a lot of points. And one of the things I want to reiterate that you said, you talked about, hey, like, if I love you and you love me, it's a mutual situation. And we're not, don't, what's the saying, don't make someone a priority when you're just an option? Like, that's extremely important. And we need to be able to understand and realize that. You know, a lot of times, you know, you think about someone that's being weak or someone that has low self-esteem. You know, what is love? What is a healthy love like? I would love to see more of healthy love relationships because, like I said, most of the people I know, over half of them, they're in crappy type situations and they're just there because it's convenient because people don't want to leave. So tonight we're talking about love without limits. So I just ask everyone that's listening, like, hey, think about it. If you're in a relationship, regardless whether it's he and you or you and her, it doesn't matter. You know, is it healthy? Is it something that's beneficial? Is it a relationship that's progressing? Is it a relationship that has goals? You know, why are you in this relationship? Is it something that's mutually beneficial? And when I say beneficial, I don't mean money. Yeah, money is good. Don't get it twisted. But it should be a good type situation. One thing before the show started, and I said, Shauna, how you doing today? And she said, man, I'm great. I'm like, and she just thought, I'm like, she said, it's been a great day. I can't remember what all you said. And I said, well, hey, what happened since the day was so great? And she was like, you know what, man, I woke up this morning. I'm good. I'm healthy. My friends are healthy. My family's healthy. That's positivity. Who doesn't need and want that? And that's the same thing we need in relationships. I'm sorry, go ahead. Who else wants to share? I can go on and on, but love without limits, like, love is great. Love is great. Love is wonderful. Love is healthy. And it should be a benefit. It should be great. It should be something to where you go to bed at night smiling. You wake up in the morning excited for your day because you know you have someone that loves you. And let me say this, and Miyoshi, I know you're not going to mind me saying this, but one thing that I learned and I respect from you so much when I was talking to you, and I know we did a show talking about going through a divorce, but Miyoshi, you were talking about respect. Like, listen, I'm a person that I require respect. And if you disrespect me, it's over with. And in relationships, a lot of people have allowed themselves to be disrespected. We have to ask ourselves why. Why do we allow it? Speak a little bit about that, if you don't mind, Miyoshi.
Yeah, I think a lot of times people get into relationships with ideas and they don't take the time to really talk and to listen. Sometimes you just let a person talk, the more and more you're going to learn about a person. They start feeling comfortable, you know, and the true them comes out because I've said it before, you know, people send in what they think you want. You know, they're not necessarily presenting themselves to be their genuine selves, right? So for me, respect, I'm probably a little bit harder than some people because I hear things where disrespect happens all the time and it's like a tone. Like it doesn't necessarily have to be something direct, but it could be the tone and the body language, the look, you know, and it's like, did you miss that? Because I heard that and I read that loud and clear, but it was just a part of their dynamic and it'll be excuses said like, oh, he's just crazy. That's his sense of humor. No, It's not. He's talking down to you, and he's doing it in front of people. Or she's belittling you, and you're just going along with this type of thing. But, yeah, to be, in my opinion, one of the most important parts of the relationship, to know where that line is, right? And everybody might not have the same measuring stick, but if you get to know the person, you'll know where not to go. I'll cut you off in a minute.
Man, ladies, have you, I was looking at the list of different topics, and someone suggested this topic. So this kind of goes in line. We're talking about love and love without limits. When it comes to friendship, and again, we want to do this podcast with black women, for black women, and we love everyone. However, it's just things that as a black woman that you want to talk about with your sister that, you know, looks like you. And sometimes, you know, we are working to make sure we can build those healthy, tight relationships because you want your sister to win. I want you ladies to win. I want for you what I want for myself. So with that being said, how do you handle or have you ever had a situation to where you may have had a friend, a girlfriend, that was in a situation or in a relationship where she may have had a load-out limit, maybe she was gung-ho all into this situation, and you knew it wasn't good, it wasn't healthy. Did you just mind your business? Did you get in her business? And that's why I asked you guys about the show Sisters. I'm not going to tell you about it because you haven't seen it, but it's about four women. And these women are all up in each other's business, and they all are going through something because they're single and they're dating. So you can imagine. It's kind of like Sex in the City, which I've never really seen, but from what I've heard. But so what's your stance on that? As far as having a friend and she's in something, may not be too healthy, but she's the ride or die, and you can see red flags. How do you handle that? Or do you not say anything?
You, as a friend, you say something. If she's a friend, she'll take heed to it. But, you know, you can't make her do anything. So as a friend, you know, I'm going to let you know what I see, how I feel, and what I think. And then it's up to you, you know, because you're an adult, you're going to make your own choices. But just know that this might be the end of our friendship. I love you, but I'm not going to stand around and let somebody treat you like that. And if you know that I'm your friend, then you know that I have your back. But a lot of the times when women get in relationships, you know, they start to look at their friends as enemies, you know, because their friends are telling them, like, hey, like what Miyoshi said, hey, girl, did you just hear what he said to you? You going to let him talk to you like that? Or, you know, and now she's on the defense because she thinks that you're trying to interfere in her relationship. So in a situation like that, you just got to let it play out. You got to let her, you know, again, this is when you know better, you do better. Clearly she doesn't know any better. Mm-hmm. So she's gonna get into this situation. She's going to fall. She's going to bump her head. And guess what? As a friend, I'm going to be there when that happens. I'm not going to rub it in your face. I'm not going to say, ha-ha, I told you so. I'm going to say, you know, I tried to talk to you about this early on because I didn't want this to happen to you. It happened to me. This is how I was able to see it. This is how I knew what was about to happen because it's happened to me. I was trying to save you, but I'm still here for you. I'm still your friend. I've had a friend that this has happened to. Exact scenario. You know, and it turned into an abusive situation. And what ended up happening was, you know, when I tried to step in to kind of bring some resolution to the situation, I was seen as the enemy. I was seen as, you know, oh, she don't want you happy. She don't want you to be with me. She's single, so she wants you to be single. It was one of those type of things. So I mm-hmm. was outcast. I was, you know, and it's like, yo, this is how many years of friendship, and you only been knowing this person for 1 year, you know, 6 months, however long it's been, and you gonna choose them over me? So then it becomes, you know, where now they are in a situation where it's like, I either got to choose my friend or I got to choose my partner. And so when a person is not fully coherent of who they are and what they'll accept, you can't push those boundaries on them. I know what I'll accept, but clearly she's going to accept something else. You know, I ordered a steak and lobster, she ordered fish sticks, so that's what she's going to have tonight. And so you got to let people do them. You can kind of tell them, but at the end of the day, they're adults. She's going to do what she want to do anyway. But just let her know I'm your friend, I'm here for you, and whenever, you know, hopefully things don't end too bad and you know, between the friendship, it's so that when the relationship does go sour, you guys can kind of get back together and mend that friendship that was kind of broken. But a lot of the times that's not what happens. A lot of the times you lose a friend trying to save a friend. So I don't save them no more. I let you do you. If you're going to settle for that, because what people don't understand is if I talk to you like that, it would be a problem. But you letting them talk to you like that and it's not a problem? Oh, he just joking? But if I said that, you would take it to heart. You would get offensive about it. Or you would get defensive about it, you know? So, yeah, you got to let a person just go through it. It's no way around it because you're gonna lose either way.
What are your thoughts, Mimi?
I agree 100% with what she just said. It's absolutely true. I wish I had a friend like me in situations where you'll hear the excuse of, oh, he's just being a man. And I've never accepted that. So I'm going to forever remove myself out of a situation. But to have someone to make excuses for the man instead of saying, I see what you're saying, is, you know, you got to protect yourself or whatever. I'm the hard one. I'm the one who gives no chances, is what they say. But I'm also not the one that's getting my head cracked, you know, and have I been in a situation where someone tried it? Yeah, they went to jail too. So I'm not about all of that, you know. Let's be adults. If we don't like each other, we don't have to deal with each other. If it's too much, you need to go your way, let me go mine. If you're my friend, be my friend all the time, not when things are great, because I need you more so when things are rough. Or if I'm not seeing something and you see it, tell me. I'm not going to get mad. You're having my back.
That makes sense. You know, I mean, that's real. Thinking about it, to me, I've been burned in situations like that. I think one of the mistakes that I made when I was probably 17, 18 years old is I was having a conversation with a friend who was in a relationship with a guy, and she thought that he was cheating. And we test him. I think we were like 17, 18. And we test him, set him up, and he failed miserably. And one of the things I had to learn through that situation is you can tell someone about something, but you can't have expectations about what they do. And we have to respect whatever their decision is, whether it's to stay or go. And I had thought that when we had exposed this guy and we found and he failed miserably, horribly, and she confronted him and he pulled out all the stops. As a matter of fact, we're in 12th grade. He pulled out all the stops and an engagement ring. I was thinking she was contacting him about terminating the relationship because she knew he was a liar and a cheater, big time. And he came with a ring and a proposal and married her quickly. And we didn't talk for about 10 years. And I wasn't mad just because of that situation. Like, she just kind of fell back because she felt like, hey, I think she's upset with my decision, so I don't really know how to face her, so blah, blah, blah. And one of the things that hurt me so desperately is after 10 years of marriage and two children and a STD several times, man.
Deep breath.
And when I had spoke to her and she had contacted me after all those years and she said, oh, I miss you, I love you, my friend. And she was telling me about the trips to the doctor and I'll never forget, she said when she went to her OBGYN the second time she had had something and he said, listen, this is what the OBGYN said. You've been here before for this. Why? Why are you back? And this man doesn't even, I mean, he doesn't know her personally. And she told me how embarrassed she was and how she felt. And she said that she said, you know what? I felt like he never really even loved me. He, when I bust him, he had to come back harder, and he did. And she, Shawna, you said something about 20 and then 30. And she said, man, see, I feel like I've wasted 10 years of my life. And what made her leave was her OBGYN said, listen. And he told about the women that were coming in there with different things and how sometimes it can end up getting worse. And he told, she said he told her, you may come back in here again with something that I can't cure. And that was a reality check for her because this man was who – he was who he was 10 years before.
And
she was telling me – yeah, and she knew it. But you know what she also – and this is a beautiful girl, very beautiful, very smart. She said, I love him. I love him. And I had to stick with him because my mama did stick with my dad. My dad got two outside kids. You understand what I'm saying? But love has to have limits because your life matters. Something also, Shawna, you said earlier, you know, like love without limits, man, I'm going to be a ride or die for my own stuff, for my kids, for what I got going on. We have to realize, just like you hear people say all the time, Black Lives Matter, man, we matter. Women matter. Our lives matter. Why do we have to continue to be the bottom of the totem pole? When you look at even the statistics for STDs and HIV, you see Black women are affected the most. Why is that? Because it seems like a lot of Black women are out there just being fools. Why? Why are we doing that? Our life matters as well.
Because we've been conditioned by society to believe that we aren't anything if we don't have a man. And so this is why independent women are shunned. This is why single women are shunned. This is why divorced women are shunned. This is why women who live their lives to the fullest without a man, this is why they are frowned upon, because you are nothing without a man. And this is what most women believe. I know people who they'll break up with somebody today or they'll get cheated on or whatever it is, and they with somebody else tomorrow because they cannot be by themselves because society looks at single women as less than. Oh, you're not with a man? You must have a bad attitude. You must be this. You must be that. You must be that. No, I must be happy with me before I can get with somebody else. You know, like
That's
people
right.
have bounced around from relationship to relationship to relationship. Like, what's so wrong with you that you can't be alone with you? That's something that you need to think about. I am completely content with myself. I can be happy with a man or I can be happy with Ashana by herself. And not saying this goes back to what I was saying earlier. It's not because I'm independent and don't need a man. Trust me, I love men. I love being with them. I love going out with them. I love sitting next to them. I love how they smell when they smell good. I love how they dress. I love how they talk. I love everything about a man. But guess what? Ashana's not going to be broke, homeless, or hungry if she don't have one. And society does not like them. Society does not like strong women. Because strong women are a threat to the status quo. Strong women symbolize change, and they symbolize hope. And so this is why men are losing their shit right now, because they are losing the battle. They are slowly beginning to realize, like, these women don't really need us. Like, she could pay her own rent. She could pay her own car note. She could pump her own gas. Women out here know how to change tires and build bedrooms onto their house. So men are beginning to realize that she don't need me, and so they're killing women. They're hurting women. They're harming women. They're abducting women because they don't feel needed in society. Outside of your sperm, what do you have to offer me that I can't go and get somewhere else? And not saying that you are worthless, but I also am not worthless if I don't have you.
Respect.
You hear what I'm saying? We're both worth something, whether we are together or whether we are not. But I am not worth less if I don't have a man. And a lot of women believe that they are. I know women in marriages right now that husband cheating, lying, got outside kids, but she won't leave him because her family's going to look at her like, oh, you left your husband? Oh, something must not be right with you. You can't keep a man. But you don't ever hear the saying to the man, oh, you can't keep a woman. You don't ever hear that. And most men can't keep a woman. But the problem is a lot of women are weak and will stay with a man and let him do whatever he wants to do because she doesn't want anybody to say to her, you must can't keep a man. No, honey, a man can't keep me. That's the problem. I'm not going to be with somebody that does not respect me, that does not treat me the way that I treat him. You know, I tried dating. and, you know, things go well for a while, and then he decides to do what he does. And, you know, they always know when they're wrong because they'll come back apologizing. They want to bring you flowers. They want to do nice things for you. But it's like, yo, you wouldn't even have to do all of that if you kept your word and did what you were supposed to do. So I don't want that, because once you close the door on me, you have to know that it's closed on you too. It's not, you know, this ain't a revolving door that you just come in and out of. Once it's open, I'm going to love you wholeheartedly. I'm going to give you what you give me. Once you do something to fracture that or shatter that, yeah, there are some women that give multiple chances, but, baby, this ain't baseball. You don't get three strikes. You out. The first time you do something, you can go give it to another woman because it's not that important to me. You know why? Because Ashana would never treat herself like that, and I would have never treated you like that. So I can't allow you to treat me like that. It's one of those type of things. Not that I think I'm too good or I'm better than or any of that, but if I wouldn't do it to you and I wouldn't do it to myself, I'm not going to let you do it to me. And this goes for friends, you know, my lady friends. This goes for men. This goes for whoever it is. This goes for, you know, your parents and your relatives. You can't treat me how you think it's okay to treat me, auntie, grandma, cousin, mama, sister, whoever it is. Respect is high on the list. And if you can't give that, then I got to cut you off, because you don't respect me enough. A person that don't respect you will treat you any kind of way. And that's not self-love. That's not love without limits. You got to have limits. Limits protect you. You got to have limits on whatever relationship it is. They're necessary.
That's a lot. Well, let me ask you, ladies. We talked about love without limits and why it, and different reasons that it is important to have limits. Let's talk a little about healthy relationships. I know there's no perfect example of a healthy relationship, but can you share what your thoughts are about healthy relationships, or how you feel like, hey, this is a good example of a healthy relationship?
I was going to say my mom and my stepdad, and the reason why I say that is my mom married my father, and they were childhood sweethearts, so they were teenagers when they had me. And my mother, I found out in a book that she wrote, my father started cheating on my mother within 3 months of them being married after having me. I was 6 months when they got married. And the cheating happened repeatedly. Of course, during this time, that goes back to me saying where people were encouraging people to stay together. Oh, he's being a man, this, that, and the other. So my mom went from hell to heaven on earth with my dad. Do they have things that go on in their relationship? I'm pretty sure. They both say, you know, there's no perfect relationship, but it's perfect if you work on it together and you have the same common goals. The way that they dote on each other after 30 years of marriage is like they just met. They compliment each other. When they may or may not agree on things, they have these discussions in the privacy of their home, not with an audience. If it's a teaching moment, they share their teaching moments with their adult children. We're all adults now. So the first thing is that God is the head of their life. So they each have their own individual relationships with God. So with God, then it becomes them, then their children, and then their family. So I love their relationship because I've seen what divorce looks like, being from a divorced kid, going through some things as a child, not realizing what was going on, but later in life realizing, oh, that's what that was, to seeing. And let me say this, my mom is 9 years older than my dad, and I consider him my dad because he stepped in and shut everything down. So he is a young man who stepped in with three teenage children, no children of his own. They adopted my little sister. And so I've gotten a chance to witness a relationship start, and as it is blossomed and it's strong, going 30 years later and going. So I know what it looks like. I know what it feels like. And that's what my desire is, which is why I got out of the relationship that I was in, because if there was no, it was stagnant. There was no growth. It was just, why am I here? And the disrespect is what gave me my out, and I took it, ran, and have not looked back, and I'm happier for it.
Amen. And that's a real-life example, which is really good, and it's always good to be able to see, you know, situations like that. Like when I think about my parents who had been married over 40 years, I remember both of them saying, I know when we were probably in our early 20s, my dad had said, boy, you just don't realize sometimes, you know, how parents stay together for the children. And I'm like, what you mean by that? Do you think my mama would have left you? And then I remember one time when they were coming up to like a 20 or 25th year, I was asking them what their thoughts was about like renewing their vows and like having like a ceremony. And they both said no. And then my mama even said, hey, I wonder what would happen if I said no? Like, would it undo? And I'm like, nope, honey, you stuck. But and you know, until the day, Dad, I know that they loved each other, but I also kind of felt like maybe, I don't want to say they settled, and I know that relationships have issues, but just really all throughout those years, they always was looking for it out. Like, when it was time to celebrate, they just kind of like, oh, now we go, okay, we good. So it's really great to hear that your mom, you know, remarried and married your stepdad who stepped in, real man status, and, you know, to see him going strong. And we know that everything is not going to be perfect. Every day is not going to be great, but it's how you work at it. And that's what's really important, being in a healthy relationship. And if you're not in a relationship or your relationship ended, being okay with being by yourself until the next relationship, or just being by yourself. That's the thing. Like, a lot of times people look at society and think, hey, this is what you're supposed to do. Go to college, get good grades, get in the White House, and get to picket fences. It's 2021. You know, no one can dictate how your life should look, what you need to do by 18 and 21 and 25 and 30, et cetera, et cetera. It's whatever you want. It's whatever you create, and long as you're happy in it. And that's what is extremely important. What are your thoughts, Shauna, in reference to, you know, examples of a healthy relationship?
Just, you know, that balance, you know, you balance each other out. You know, you have that reciprocity. That's high on the list. You know, you guys respect each other. Like you said, there's no perfect relationship, but we can at least have a mutual understanding of what we both, you know, want for each other and from each other. You know, it's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be the Cosbys. It's not going to be, you know, what we see on TV. It's going to be what we make it. But if we're both not in this with 2 feet, you know, then we don't need to be in it at all. You know, we either going to give it our all or we're not going to give it nothing, because I'm not going into anything half-assed. I don't do anything. I don't run my business half-assed. I don't clean my house half-assed. I don't clean my car half-assed. I do it 100%. So if I'm in a relationship, I'm giving 100%. It ain't no 50-50, because where's that other 50% going? Who's getting that other 50%? We need to be 100-100. We both in this together. We both going to make it work. Yeah, there are going to be times when we fight and we don't like each other and, you know, we might not want to see each other. That happens. But as long as there's that balance and that mutual respect and that reciprocity to where we both want from and for each other the same things, and I think, you know, that's a healthy relationship. I think that's healthy enough. You know, that's all you can – it's all you can really hope for, you know, is to get with somebody that got your back the way you got they back. Anything less than that is not even worth, you know, not even worth your time.
Anything less than that would just not be civilized. All right, so two other things I got to mention before we go tonight, because you guys alluded to this earlier. So two things. Number one, I want you to talk about when it comes to outgrowing someone. Someone mentioned something like that. Let's say you're in a relationship and things change. Things are not the same. And I had a situation and I really hope she don't listen to this podcast, but I want to talk about that and communication. I worked with a young lady who I was really, really cool with, and she had dated a guy all throughout high school, and she loved this guy. And after high school, you know, he was a regular street guy, and she was just a street chick. However, after high school, she went off to college. And when she went off to college for 4 years, she was, first year, she said she came home every weekend, like 2 hours, because she loved her boyfriend. The second year, she ended up pledging in a sorority, getting more, you know, acclimated to stuff in college, and she would come home every other weekend. And he was kind of feeling some type of way. He's like, man, when are you going to be finished school? So lo and behold, she got a bachelor's degree. She landed a really great job. 2 years later, she ended up going for a master's. And then she started dating different type of guys, you know, college-educated, professional guys, because her boyfriend was still the homeboy from her city, you know, hanging out, barely keeping a job, you know, smoking out in the corner, blah, blah, blah. And I remember having a conversation with her one day saying, man, like, I'm not happy in this relationship anymore. She said, I love him, and I want to have a family with him, but I don't want him. She felt like she had too much time in the relationship. But she had her master's degree. She had a great job. She had a pay increase. And she just wanted more. She had vision. She had goals. Just things had changed. And then I had a similar conversation with him because I was pretty cool with him too. And he felt like she thought she was better than him. And one thing is, men do not like when they start feeling insecure. So have you ladies ever had a situation like that to where you may have been in a relationship and he outgrew you or you outgrew him? And if so, how did you handle that?
I mean, it happens. It's one of those things that in life, again, if you're not growing, if you ain't learned nothing in 10 years and 5 years and 1 year, then you wasting time. So either y'all growing together or y'all growing apart. There is no other, there is no in between. I have people, and it's funny because I have guys that, you know, we used to kick it back in the day when I was in college and in high school, and we went out and we did things, and that was the life back then. And so every now and again, one of them will find me on Facebook or on Instagram, and they'll send me a message, oh, what, we should kick it. And so my response to them is, without trying to be mean or sound like I'm better than them or anything, but what I let them know is I say, hey, if you can tell me a time within the last 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, however long it's been, that we have kicked it, I will kick it with you tonight. And it's as simple as that. I don't get a response back after that. Because if I've not reached out to you in 10, 15, 20 years, if we've not hung out, my guy, let it go. Let it go. Like some chapters are done. Some chapters are closed. Like if you weren't somebody back then that I felt would be here with me in the future, then you're left back there for a reason. You know, this ain't the never-ending story. This story ended 10 years ago. We don't need to open that chapter again. If I wanted you here, you'd be here. You outgrow people, and that's life. I mean, I made a post about this the other day. I said even plants outgrow their pots, and you got to repot them, like Miyoshi was saying with her pot, her plants. You know, even plants grow out of their pots, and you have to replant them, or else they'll stop growing. You will stunt their growth, and they'll die. So even plants need to be repotted because they outgrow where they are. I mean, you ever be walking down the street and you see a tree that the roots is all cracked up on the concrete, and the concrete, you trip over it because it's all cracked up and toe up. That tree is outgrown where it is, and look at the damage that it's caused because it no longer fits there. That's what happens in life. We outgrow people, and it's not a crime. Don't feel bad. Everybody from your past can't go with you on your future. You know, it's just one of those things. I don't hate you. I don't think I'm better than you. I don't think you're less than me. You're probably doing some great stuff too. And if our paths just so happen to align from a business aspect, or even if it's romantic, then that's all fine and dandy. But if they don't, why open the door for something that I closed 10 years ago? Everybody can't go with you on an airplane. You know, you can only take so many bags because they say it's going to make the plane too heavy. You can only bring so much. It's the same in life. I can only carry so much. You're not going to weigh me down. You're too heavy. You can't go with me. This is my flight. I got to go by myself. I can only take so much.
Honey, you just walked real heavy. I got to find something in my email now. It was something that I got forward many, many years ago saying, you know, thank God for closed doors. And, you know, a lot of times in life, and I don't know about you guys, but I've had situations, I've had doors to close, and I was trying to open that door, trying to save it, glue it back together, and sometimes you just don't realize it. And life is about change, and change is not always easy. However, change is necessary. So, yeah, I did everything that you said, 110%, because that's true. That's true. What are your thoughts on Yoshi?
That goes back to that post that I had made last week, the real long one that you I made you go read. That's what
yeah,
I was talking about.
May, emphasis on made me. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You needed to hear it, just like you have a reason for things. I do too, but I use
mm-hmm.
myself as the example, where with me, in my post, I was stating that after relationships were over, just because they didn't end badly, it was a mutual, well, it was my agreement, and they agreed that it couldn't go anywhere, it was going nowhere, that I was done, we still remain in touch. And that goes back to what Ashana was saying, is I had to look in the mirror and try to figure out why did I feel a need to keep the door cracked when I said it was over? Why didn't I close it? You know, and so it was a little bit more deeper for me, but I've been closing doors. I have been shutting people down. We don't need to talk. We haven't talked. I don't know why I'm crossing your mind, but you're not crossing mine, which is why I don't reach out to you, but you feel a need to reach out to me. And so I had to realize that I needed to remove myself and not making myself available for people who didn't deserve to be in my presence in my life at that point in time, you know, making them feel that they had access to me, even though that wasn't the intent, but my actions were showing something different that my words were saying. And so it was just a aha moment for me. That at the age of 47, that I'm realizing that there's some work that I need to do also with myself, because I am sending out mixed signals unintentionally, but intentionally seeking it, right? And so that goes not just for romantic relationships, that goes for any type of relationship, even if it happens to be with family, because family is going to always be family, but it doesn't mean that they have to be involved in life, especially if they're negative. It's always negative. Oh, she thinks she's too much, or she's never suffered. She doesn't know what I go through type of thing, talking out the side of their neck. You know, so you have to, like, put things where things need to be, and sometimes things need to be put on the shelf and left there. So, yes, ma'am.
Everything has an expiration date. Everything expires except water, and we need water to grow. So keep drinking your water, keep watering your plants, let them grow, you grow. Everything else has a shelf life. Everything else expires. Batteries run out, you know, electricity eventually gets cut off. Everything has a shelf life. Some stuff you just got to put on the shelf and leave it there, you know. No offense to nobody. Like I was saying earlier, I don't think I'm better than you. I don't think I'm all that. I don't think you're less than me. It's just we have no business anymore. And that just is what it is. And if there comes a time when our paths cross, because we do have business, then we'll let that happen naturally. But we're not going to pry a door open just to see if we got business together. No, if our paths cross and I'm in a business meeting and you just so happen to be in the same meeting, then okay, boom. That door is opened again. We have something to talk about. But I'm not going to be cracking the door open, peeking out, saying, you know, do you think we have something to talk about? No, we don't have nothing to talk about. Like I said, if you could tell me a time within the last 10 years that we kicked it, I'll kick it with you tonight. If you can't, then I don't know what that – I don't even know why you knocking on the door that was closed for 10 years.
Right. And I just pulled up the thing. I wanted to, this was in 2010. I got to read this. And I also want to say, I want to talk about as we close out tonight, what are some things, I want you guys to think about this, even though I know you already got this. I want you to think about what are some things that we can do as Black women to build. As we were starting the show, well, before the show, I was saying to someone, like, you know, I love to learn. I love to meet and be around people that are positive, that are forward thinking, and just some of the things you said, I'm like, this is amazing. And you're everything that Miyoshi told me you were. So before I read this, I gotta go give credit where credit is due. I was talking to Miyoshi, what were we talking about? And you said, Tawanda, I'm going to need you to go to Facebook and read what this young lady's wrote. I've been reading her stuff for a long time and blah, blah, blah. What were we talking about that day? Something, I think, about jealousy. What was it? And you ordered me to go to her Facebook page and read that post. Do you remember?
Yeah, I don't remember the exact topic, but pretty much she was talking about not being held captive in a situation, not feeling sorry because you got to walk, you know, you have to walk away. Like what she's saying now, everybody can't go with you. And then when it's the end, uh-huh, of the end, don't remember.
Okay. And, you know, when I read it, I said, oh, wow, that's amazing. And, but three things about that situation that I want to say. Number one, it's good to hear one Black woman say something positive about another, because you don't really see it that often. You understand that some people are just so caught up in their self, they don't have time to give someone else's kudos. And the second thing was what you said was so real. It was so true. Like, hey, talking about being jealous and people and so on and so forth. And I was like, you know what, man, you just walking heavy, because we were having that same conversation. And the third thing really is when we can look in the mirror. A lot of times when we need to work on becoming our greatest self. Like, what can I do to be better? And with me, I become better when I'm hanging around people that are better, people that are positive, that are progressive, people that I can learn stuff from. And we definitely need more of that. I believe that a lot of times when people are oppressed and depressed and suppressed and in certain type of situations, I believe it all goes back to people being alone. What can we do to build those healthier relationships with women, with each other, so not that you can, quote, unquote, save the next person, but that someone can know that, hey, you don't have to be alone. You understand what I'm saying? I know that with the pandemic, things are opening back up. You know, we need each other. I mean, I'm not saying because it's a song. I'm not saying because it sounds good. I'm saying it because it's true. We need each other. We need those healthy relationships. I want you guys to tell me, like, what are your thoughts and what are some ways that we as women, as Black women, what can we do to get better with that? But I got to read this to you. Someone sent me this, and I had to go to my Yahoo that I haven't been in years, and I put in closed doors, and this came up. Someone sent this to me on December 8th, 2010, at 7:07 p.m. I got to read it. I got to read it. Okay, listen. Thank God for closed doors. We need to, We need to learn to thank God. We need to learn to thank the Lord for closed doors just as much as we do for open doors. The reason God closes doors is because he has not prepared anything over there for us. If he didn't close the wrong door, we could never find out our way to the right door. Even when we didn't realize it, God directs our path through the closing and opening of doors. When one door closes, it forces us to change our course. Another door closes, it forces us to change our course yet again. Then finally, we find the open door and walk right into our blessing. But instead of praising God for the closed door, which kept us out of trouble, we get upset because we judge by appearances. And in our own arrogance or ignorance, we insist that we know what is right. We have a very present help in the time of need who is always standing guard because he walks ahead of us. He can see trouble down the road, and he sets up roadblocks and detours accordingly. But through our lack of wisdom, we try to tear down the roadblocks or push aside the detour signs. Then the minute we get into trouble, we start crying, Lord, how could this happen to me? we have to realize that the closed door was a blessing. Didn't he say that no good thing will be withheld from those who love him? If you get terminated from your job, don't be down. Instead, thank God for the new opportunities that will manifest themselves. It might be a better job or an opportunity to go to school. If that man or woman won't return your call, it might not be them. It might be the Lord setting you up a roadblock just to let it go. I'm so grateful for the many times God has closed doors for me, just to open them in the most unexpected places. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights his way. Always remember, God gives you enough happiness to keep you going, enough trials to keep you strong, enough sorrows to keep you human, enough hope to keep you happy, enough failure to keep you humble, enough success to keep you eager, enough friends to give you comfort, enough wealth to meet your needs, enough enthusiasm to make you look forward, enough faith to banish depression, enough determination to make each day better and better than the last, and enough honey to keep you sweet. Bam. Thank God for closed doors. I'm going to post it. 2010. Man. But you know what? That touched my heart. Think about that. Enough happiness to keep you going. Enough trials to keep you strong. Anybody ever had a trial? Anybody ever been through something? Hello, somebody. Enough failure to keep you humble? Oh, look, that's a show in itself. I can definitely talk about failure, and I can talk about the humility that God definitely birthed in me. Don't even get me started. Oh, my goodness. But, ladies, you also said, Ashauna, that everything has an expiration date, and that means our show. So, ladies, give it to us, though, because we have a few minutes. Give it to us from your heart. Like, one of the reasons I was talking to my partner, Corinne, about, well, we're always talking about something, but we always see a lot of things talking about blacks and just different races and so on and so forth. And I said, you know what's on my heart? I really want to see more of us as black women be able to build together and be able to talk about certain things, whether it's light skin, dark skin, my hair, your hair. Do we like ourselves? Do we love ourselves? I mean, whatever it is. And I'm looking so forward to a weekly chit-chat opportunity with you guys and just sharing. But as we close out tonight in the next few minutes, give it to us from your heart. Like, what can we do? Lower our limits. Like, we have to love ourselves. What can we do to build each other up? What can we do to be better sisters, to be better friends, to develop? And Mimi, I want you to go first. And I say that because you told me, I don't really do women. I don't really have friends and blah, blah, blah. And I get it. I get it. I really do. So talk to us about that. Can we be friends? Like, how can we build friendship? How can we be a beacon of light for each other? Because I believe as we have healthy friendships and relationships, it's going to hold us accountable, and we're not going to keep accepting that bullshit. Excuse my French. Mimi, what are your thoughts? Yeah.
Well, when I said that was true in the moment, but I feel that over the time, in this short period, I believe that you and I have become friends, and the reason why is because we're being ourselves. We have no expectations other than to be respectful and honest with each other. Right, and so a lot of times people throw the word friend around, and they just throw it around like they do love, not realizing what that really means. You know, not to say that people won't always agree, not to say that people or will always agree, and not to say that there could not be times where there's a disconnect, but at the heart of it, you know that your friend has your best interest at heart and that you'll be able to work, through it. You know, you accept each other for who you are, and that's what you love about that person. You know, the having the differences is, to me, is how you learn from other people. Being willing to learn and see things from another person's perspective, it helps you to grow. You know, and in my experience, I didn't have that. I had people who said that they were friends, but they'll talk about you, and then they go talk about the next person, and that's chaos and that's mess. And so I appreciate you, just like with Ashana and her group. What was it, earlier this week, or was it last week, Ashana, when me and one of your Facebook friends were having a discussion about it, and it remained very grown womanish. I really appreciated that we were able to talk it through and for other people to recognize it, which happened to be a man who brought that, to me, said a lot because it is needed. We should be able to have a discussion without getting all ratchet and upset in our feelings. You know, it's just a difference of opinion, and it's okay to have a difference of opinion. So I do have friends, and I feel like that what's going on right now on this podcast is the beginning of something because we come from different walks of life, and I feel like that being able to come in and to hear each other, we have a lot of things that we're seeing that are alike, but there's some differences, and I'm open to it all. So that's my two cents.
And you know, before Shauna speaks, I got to laugh. Shauna had posted something about, I don't think it was about one night stands or it was about friends with benefits, and I said, "Uh-oh, well, hope Miyoshi don't see this post." I said, "Uh-oh, it's gonna be a
that's
problem."
That's the post that she's talking about. No, that's the post that she's talking about, where her and another young lady had a difference of opinion, and a man chimed in and gave his thoughts on it, and then I chimed in and I said, "Yeah, because the women on my page are grown women. This is what we do. We're able to talk and work it out without calling names. And I deal with grown women on my page." And I said, and then I also said, if I would have either one of them going into it like that, I would have deaded the conversation right there. Because what y'all not going to do is argue on my post, because that's going to be all them alerts for me. I don't want to have to go through all that. So I'm going to just mute
the
whole
thing. Oh, I got to go back and read that then.
Not going to be the one of y'all talk. So, yeah, no, I made a comment on that, too. That was the exact post. It was about a post where, you know, a man told a woman, you know, let's be friends. She said, okay. They, you know, decided to get a little active with each other, and she wanted more, and he had to bring her back down and say, this is what we talked about. You know, and so it was just a lot of different opinions on that topic. But that's what I like to do. I like to get people talking. I like to get people thinking. I want to know what y'all think about certain situations. You know, it's not always about me. I just want to know what y'all think. You know, what's in y'all head? What do y'all think about this? It was that exact post. It was that exact post.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, that's interesting, because when I saw it, I'm like, uh-oh, I hope Mimi don't see this one, because I can hear her say, you don't have no man. But I read your comment. I didn't know somebody was going back and forth, but I read your comment. I'm like, okay, Mimi. Okay, that's really okay. Interesting. Okay, Shauna, talk to us about women, friendships, support system, positivity, growth. How can we do better with that?
So, you know what, I actually agree a lot with what Miyoshi said about the situation. You know, it all goes back to everything starts and ends with you. So if I don't love myself, if I don't like myself, I don't love or like nobody else. Because I don't know what it feels like. I've not given it to myself, so I can't give it to you. So if I wake up in the morning and I hate what I look like and you look better than me, then I'm going to hate you too. You know, if I hate my nails because they look raggedy and you got some beautiful nails on, I'm going to hate your nails. If my hair is ugly and I don't like it, I don't like yours. You know, so it all starts and ends with you. If you love yourself, if you like yourself, what we three have in common right now is that there is no competition. You know, we all going to eat, whether it's on my plate, on your plate, on her plate. We all got our own separate thing that we're able to bring to the table without expecting anything from each other, like Miyoshi said. You know, it starts and ends with you. So a lot of it has to do with where you are. You can't pour from an empty cup. You can only give what you have received in life. So if you've received hate and criticism and judgment and you've been belittled, that's all you know how to give. You don't know how to give anything else. But if you've received love and you've had good friendships with women and you guys have been honest with each other, you've cried on each other's shoulder, you've depended on each other, things like that, then you are used to giving that to other women. And so I think until we get to a point where we can be comfortable enough with ourselves to say, you know what, I'm kind of damaged. I don't have women friends because of this or because of that. Until we can get to that point where we can actually have those kind of conversations, I really don't know if we can all sit at a table and come up with the things that we're talking about, because like this goes back to the relationships, and with your homegirl, and she's in a relationship, she's getting abused, you try to step in, and now she's not your friend no more because she didn't love herself. I loved her more than she loved herself. And how is that possible? I loved you to want to see you not go through that, but you didn't love you to not go through that. So we can't be friends because we have a different viewpoint on love and self-love, things that we tolerate. So I think until we get to a point where we can be open and honest with ourselves, not with you, not with her, not with them, with ourselves, I'm not really sure that we can open that door to a lot of people, because when you open the door for wrong people, you know, stuff come up missing. Joy, peace, you know, your happiness, that stuff comes up missing because people that are miserable, they love company. Because like I said, if you single and you don't like being by yourself, why? That's a problem. What's wrong with you? So if I'm mad, then I need some people to be around me. I need them to be mad too, because I don't want to be mad by myself. And so a lot of times you can't open the door for people like that. You can wish them the best. You can wish them the best and hope that they see it and hope that eventually they'll come along and say, you know what, I like what you ladies have over there, and I want to be a part of that. How can I be a part of that? Okay, sis, in order to be a part of this, you got to work on you first, because what you're not going to do is bring your mess onto our table. Our table is clean. We doing our own thing. We got our own stuff together, because all it takes is one thief of joy. That's all it takes. One person to come in and cause chaos and confusion among everybody. And that's what you don't need. So while I get it, opening the door and everybody, you know, we want to be positive and we want to love each other, we can do that, but it's going to be from over there. You're going to stay over there, and I love you, and I hope that you look over the gate from time to time and say, I like what they're doing. I want to go over there with them. But, sis, you got to work on yourself first. Because all of this right here, all this talk, my talk, your talk, her talk, this is self-love. We are coming from a place of love. We're not talking about, you know, well, because, you know, she was a hater and she did this and she did that. That ain't even the topic of conversation. We're coming from a place where we've gone through things, we're older, and now it's like that stuff, it really means nothing. Like, what's to be mad at? You know, life is short. What are we mad about? Let's talk about our feelings. Let's get over it, and let's get back to the money. Let's get back to business. So until you're comfortable with yourself to have those type of conversations with yourself, you're not going to mesh well in any group. You're not going to mesh well in any group. I love women. I want to help women. I work with a lot of women. That's what my business is for, is to work with people and bring them together. But we got to know, like you said, God closed doors for a reason. We can't go inviting these people into the doors that God has closed. She got to walk through a whole bunch of doors to get to the doors that we in, to get to the room that we in. And until she does that with herself on her own journey, it's going to be chaos for everybody. So while I love my sisters, I love my black women, I want to work with all of them, I want to just have long enough arms to reach around all of them and hug them all, it's impossible, because some people won't hug themselves. Some people won't hug you back. You hug them and they not even hugging you back.
You know, I think about I was asking Shauna and Mimi about coming on the show and just talking, you know, weekly, sharing certain types of things. I'm always in expectancy of something great and something amazing. However, you ladies have definitely exceeded my expectation tonight, just what I was thinking, because, hey, you hit home on so many different levels. And, you know, you talked about self-love, and that's what we're doing. And hopefully as things get better with – sidebar, I just pulled up Shauna's website in the travel lane, and she's kissing a – is it a dolphin? I'm like, here she go again, doing something that I'm not ready for. But that's what life is about. You know, we want to inspire and aspire people, and I'm looking forward to better days. I'm looking forward to things getting better when it comes to the pandemic and things like that, and being able to get out and get connected and learn and grow and do. because that's what life is about. You said that earlier, as we, I think right before the show started, we talked about living. And, like, you only got one life. And I can't remember how you actually said it. I'm sure you shared it before the show ends. But that's what life is about. And I'm so full right now. I'm so full. I'm so grateful, you know, at you ladies investing the time to hop on here and let's talk about something that matters, because we have to love ourselves. Like, if no one else loves you, you got to love you. You got to love you enough to make good decisions. You got to love you enough to be in healthy relationships. You got to love you enough to say, I'll have enough. I told me, and the thing about, if I wasn't going to be transparent and honest on these shows, I wouldn't even be on here. And I said to Miyoshi a couple of weeks ago, I said, you know, you have been such a blessing to me in the time that I met you, and you don't even know it. Like, sometimes people would be a blessing to you, and they really don't even know it. She talked about ending a marriage and an over 20-year relationship because someone disrespected her. And I said, wow, like, girl, you really divorced this man? Like, you out of there. And I said, you know, I was in a situation, and, you know, he said some stuff, and I just kind of, like, ignored it. But when I thought about it, and then I thought about Miyoshi and the things that her ex-husband was saying and the disrespect, I said, you know what? Man, this motherfucker must have got me twisted. I ain't going for that. And I had to exit through that situation. And I even surprised myself. And, you know, sometimes we allow things, whether you brush it off, you don't really realize, you're just ignorant. I mean, I don't know what the situation is, but there's so many things that you said in the last year that that I've met you. I've grown through so many situations, not because you were telling me what you did because you want me to do it, because you didn't even know what my situation was, but just you being transparent and sharing was an influence. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being a blessing to me, and thank you for, you know, being a part of change in my life, and I appreciate it. And it's really amazing. And that's love. You know, a lot of times people like to act like, and I know we got to go, but, you know, people like to act like everything's great. And, you know, nobody has no issues. Oh, hi. Oh, I'm wonderful. I'm fabulous. I'm awesome. Oh, I'm making $100,000 a day and blah, blah, blah. And they're going home to the homeless shelter. We got to learn to be honest. We got to learn to be true. We got to learn to be real. Come to the table and be you. And if people can't accept you for you, you don't need them. So we got to go. As we close out, ladies, any final thought, any final comment, any final suggestion, any final tip of love for the black women across America?
Be great. Be great. Be happy. If you don't wake up in the morning and say, I love my life, you need to make a change. Even if your life is in shambles, you still need to love it, because that's the only life you're going to get. If your life is in shambles when you wake up in the morning, you got 24 hours to make a difference. That's on you. Be great. Be happy. Again, if you don't wake up in the morning and say, I love my life, make a change.
I want to encourage people to walk in your purpose. And if you feel like there's more to you, work to that. You are enough.
You are enough. Be great. You're enough.
And there are black women out here that love you.
That's right.
Absolutely.
We're not all haters. We're not all mad. We're not all jealous. We're not all bitter. Find you some women friends that will tell you that, because that's how you're going to grow. If you're surrounded by jealousy and evil and all your friends are haters, girlfriend, that's on you. You put yourself in that situation. The same way you put yourself in it, you can take yourself out of it.
Absolutely. Well, my tip is get in the travel lane. And I say that on so many I say that on so many levels because, you know, again, I love the travel, and I want you to tell us as we close out, Shauna, the next trip, the next girl trip or whatever. When I say travel lane, life, move. Be moving.
Yeah.
Get in the lane that's moving. Mm-hmm. Get in the travel lane. And that's what life is about. Like you just said, hey, if you're not happy with where life, hey, and Lord knows I've been, then do something about it. Do something about it. Get in the travel lane on more levels than just one. What is inthetravellane.com? What is this, your travel places? If so, when is the next
that's
trip?
My travel blog. So that's my travel blog. I've traveled all around the world. I put together a blog to be able to show my friends and family, you know, what I do, what I eat, what I see. So in the travellane.com, that is my travel blog. And, yeah, it's just inspired by my travels. The next trip, I really, really wish I could stay, but my plans are predetermined by COVID right now because a lot of the places that I want to go are not even accepting Americans in particular. So I'm a little, you know, bummed out about that. I know that there are a few places open. Many of those places I've already been to, and I like experiencing new things. So as far as international goes, I really don't have anything on the books. But domestically, I'm open to, you know, whatever states don't necessarily have, you know, 14-day or 10-day quarantine, I'm definitely open to traveling to and getting some domestic travel on my books. So if I put something together, you ladies are definitely welcome to come along, meet me there. You know, first round of drinks will be on me or, you know, whatever it is, appetizers. But, yeah, no, definitely I'm open to traveling with people, serious people. You know, I look forward to just meeting new people and doing new things. Whenever I do plan something, I'll definitely put the word out and let people know.
Absolutely. And, you know, my old pastor used to talk about, you know, may God bless his soul, Bishop Philip Davis. He used to say in church, he said, one thing about pastors, they told him like 10 times. Like, okay, we're about to go, but let me say this. Let me go, and it'll be an hour later. So I promise you, we don't even have an hour, so it won't be an hour later. But I want to say this to you, Mimi, because I know you talked about your blog. Like, you got to get on this blog in the travellane.com so you can get your blog going. Because let me tell you guys, and hopefully anyone that's listened to the show, get on this website, this blog, because let me tell you some stuff. And every day you learn something new. Like, for the next 5 days, you guys didn't know this, but I'm on the road. I'm traveling, right? And I'm like, every day I'm going to do something that I have never done before. Like, I'm always like, that's just kind of how I like to live. I'm not riding the elephant, though. You can forget that, Ashana. All right. But on her blog, right, and when I get back in from Walmart, because I'm getting ready to run to Walmart real quick, I'm going to be on this thing about an hour, like, studying it because I'm intrigued. All right. One of the things she talked about, why I left corporate America to start my own business. Okay. 10 reasons why you should visit Miramar Beach, Florida. Okay. I'm headed there because I remember when you were there, you were posting all this stuff. And really, I'm with you. I'm vicariously with you. And if we can't get a place in life, and I was watching this the other day, I was listening to a guy, I think his name's MJ. He was talking about how sometimes people are jealous of you. He said, listen, let me tell you something. If you see someone that's doing something or they got something that you want, that you like, don't be jealous. Be like, look, how you get that? How you did that?
Exactly.
Be happy for them. Okay. You said what?
That's how I am.
Exactly. So as I'm on here, I'm like, oh, she just makes me so sick. But it's nothing but love. Why I left corporate, 10 reasons why you should visit. And she got 20 gift ideas for him this Valentine's Day. But wait a minute, y'all. I'm not done. Travel review of the Waldorf Astoria, 5 unconventional self-care, how to build business credit, part 2. Hello, somebody. How to build business credit, part 1. 15 of my favorite swimsuits. Okay, all right. Thailand experience, a place that I've always wanted to go. Why you shouldn't drink tequila. What to do once you quit your job. Good paying side gigs and hustle. And these are pages and pages and pages and pages of stuff. Let me tell you something. What I love is when I can go somewhere and get fed. And when I literally say I'm going to study something, oh, honey, I mean it. I literally mean, like, I'm going to be all up in this. Because I absolutely love it. So I encourage anyone that wants to live vicariously, that wants to learn something new, wants to do something different, get on this website. And I know, Mimi, you said, hey, I love to write too. I got all this stuff. This is what you guys have in common because Mimi's a writer as well. So I'm excited. Oh, man, I got to get some ideas. I got to get to stepping. Experiences versus expenses of traveling. Affordable getaways for $500 or less. Rent a private island for less than $4,000 to $5,000. Hello, somebody. I'm gone. Ladies, I think you already closed out one time, but I'm pretty sure you got to close out again because I'm over here in love with this blog. Mimi?
Yep. And I do it for the people. I do it, you know, I could be selfish and keep all this stuff to myself and say, ha-ha, look at me, look at what I'm doing. But why? You know, I want people to do this. I want people to say, oh, my God, I saw your picture, and it made me want to do that, and I did it today. Look at my picture. And I get so many positive messages from people that say, you know, your post really touched me, or that picture that you did, I'm going to go do that this weekend. And I tell them, please send me pictures, because even though I've done it, seeing other people do it makes me happy. Like, it makes me want to do it again. Let's recycle these experiences. Let's recycle this good stuff, because this is what we all need, you know. If you're going to be on a platform, use it for good. Use it for the right reasons, you know. And so people ask me all the time, well, what are you selling? I don't sell anything. My game is free. I'm here to show you that you can do it too. Because so many people think that traveling is expensive. I can't do it. I can't afford it. I can't go there. I can't do this. The only thing you can't do is what you told yourself you can't do. You limited yourself, you know. You shut yourself out before you even gave yourself a chance. And so, yeah, I teach this stuff for free. My blog is free. What I say is free. The game that I teach is free. I show you a way that you can fix your credit while traveling. So you can book a trip on credit, pay it off, and once it's paid off, you not only get a trip, but you got some extra points on your credit report because you paid it off. I tell them all.
Girl, and I'm getting all this information. I appreciate it. I'm all over it. I'm enrolling. And I love it. Man, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I just dropped you guys a website to check out. I'm like, wait a minute, is this the same? I don't think she's connected with this, but because I remember hearing about the Black Girls Travel, and I see they got some 2021 dates. But how are you guys? Are you guys good? Everybody good?
I'm good.
All right. Well, you know what? Like I said, I'm here at Rent Walmart, but now, I mean, I'm already excited, but I'm even more excited. I'm even more inspired. And you know, really, I think this is the last thing I'm going to say before we close out. I'm really at a point in life with being over, well, I'm not going to say my age, but just with doing something that I've never done and being a little more open-minded. You know, seeing you on this elephant, I'm like, oh, hell no. Laying down with kissing the dolphins and stuff like that, I love it, and I've never done anything like that. Now, would I do anything like that? I never have, but let's not say I never will. And it's really when you meet people that's doing different things and they live to tell about it, like, okay, I can do that too. So, and I know if you're touching me vicariously, I know millions of others will be touched like that too. And that's what life is about. As we close, Shauna, you said something earlier, and you didn't say living and existing, but we were talking about, you know, you laying with the wild animal, and something you said, close us out with that. What was that? Do you remember?
I think I said something along the lines of, you know, we're already Black, so what else is there to be afraid of? We wake up in the morning terrified of, you know, if we go check our mailbox, is somebody going to call the cops on us? Or, you know, we go to the store, somebody going to think we're stealing. You know, we get pulled over by the cops, are we going to leave alive? We're already Black. What else is there to be afraid of?
That's right. So, hey, swim with the dolphins. Kiss the tigers and bears and ride the elephant, because guess what? This should be nothing to be afraid of. I appreciate you ladies so much for everything tonight. You have been nothing but a blessing. And, you know, I'm looking forward to next time. Until then, this is Tawanda, Miyoshi, and Ashauna talking to you from the Black Status Quo.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Black Status Quo. Make sure you subscribe to our channel so that you never miss an episode. And subscribe to us on social media. We're on Instagram at The Black Status Quo, as well as Facebook. Until next time, spread love and not hate.